This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Welcome to the Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Today is Monday, May 10th. The time is 10:04 a.m. and we're here in studio, ready to start another great week right here on the Blitz. Hey, no matter where you are, no matter where or how you're listening, it's a Monday morning. So thank you for tuning into our show, for making us a part of your beginning to the week. We're excited to be here and we're ready for a great show. Tons lined up on the menu, but first, before we get into any of that, let me get the real stars of the show in right now. My name is Rick Butler. To my left, that is Brandon Orrick. To my right, that is Charlie Collier. And, of course, back behind the booth, the one and only Chance Collins. Good morning, everybody. How are y'all doing today?
Doing pretty good, Rick. Doing pretty good.
We got a gear right here on the table. What do you think this goes to?
The mic stand.
Oh, I see where it's missing from. Well, hopefully the microphones don't break in the middle of the show today.
It's been there for a week.
Has it? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. All right. Well, my bad then.
Is my mic on?
No.
No.
Turn it up.
How about now?
No. Yeah, now. All right, we'll figure this out.
We'll have to get it. Chance, good morning. How are you doing, my friend?
Feeling pretty good.
You have a good weekend?
Oh, yeah, it was good.
Tremendous. Well, hopefully we'll get the technical difficulties sorted out over here. But we got tons to get into. It was a big weekend. Oh, Mother's Day was yesterday. Happy belated Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And going back to Saturday, Charlie is officially a graduate of the University of Tennessee. Let's go, Rocky Top. Yeah.
You're on now.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Let's go. Always works unplugging and plugging it back in.
Ah, good move. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
How's your weekend?
Better than yours.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, not because of the graduation.
Oh, okay. Well, why was it better than mine then?
Because the Nashville Predators are headed to the playoffs and your Dallas Stars are headed home.
Oof.
Oh, wow.
Oof.
Right off the top.
That was a real heavy hitter right off the bat.
I mean, sitting
gut punch in the first round.
Not a good look for you, Rick. You guys really, 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 really choked. On March 14th, the Preds were 11-16-1 and had a .34, not even like a full 1% chance of making the playoffs. 19-7-1 since and headed to the playoffs. Upset the Hurricanes Saturday night at home to get it done.
What an unbelievable.
Suck it, Rick. Go play some more Grand Slam audio for unimportant May baseball games. My hockey team's going to the playoffs. Yours isn't.
Ouch.
I wasn't really prepared. Brandon, I got to tell you, I wasn't really prepared for this trash talk in hockey right off the bat today, so I'm a little thrown off my game right now. I don't even know how to respond to this. I don't know anything about the hockey season so far.
So far, it's almost over.
Yeah, I know. It's been going for a while. You know, I had seen that stat yesterday, Charlie. That is insane. I mean, I don't know the statistics, but that's got to be one of the lowest percentage turned into a playoff comeback, or at least enter the playoffs with, you know, what was that, a month or two remaining in the season?
Yeah, I mean,
like, that's got to be one of the most remarkable jumps in professional sports American history.
It's right up there with what the Blues did 2 years back when they were last place nearly and fired their coach and made a run all the way to the playoffs and then won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. Yeah, that was crazy. So, hey, maybe a little bit of historical optimism for you there, but shout out, congratulations.
The shot off the skate. 2 seconds left. Listen to this crowd. The Predators.
Preds. I was going to actually.
There you go.
I was going to Uno reverse card you, but I forgot to send it to Chance until like 2 minutes ago. I was going to cut you off in the middle of your open.
You got to be quicker than that.
So I'm just gonna, pretend I did.
Just going to throw down the Uno reverse. Savage. Savage move. Well, we'll get into a little bit of playoff hockey, maybe a little bit later on in the show. Get you ready for that. But until then, we got a bunch of things on the menu, and we're really starting with, well, two big places to start with. First off, get your brooms out, gentlemen. Sweep, sweep, sweep over the weekend. 1-2-3 games for Tennessee as they defeat Missouri on the baseball diamond in Columbia. As now next on the menu is a midweek game, and then Brandon starting Friday, the series of the year.
Yeah, and Arkansas dropped one to Georgia over the weekend, so you are now tied with them with a chance to, I mean, you control your own destiny. And it depends on what you do this weekend. It's going to be a huge series against Arkansas.
Yeah, it is. I cannot wait. It's going to be a huge week in the sport of baseball right here in Knoxville as the number one team in the country travels to town. So we'll get into a little bit about what happened last weekend, catch you up on Tennessee's series versus Missouri, then get you caught up for Tuesday's game, and then obviously things start rolling to the Razorbacks after that. So that's a little bit about what's on the menu. Also, football news. Late last night, maybe around 10 or 10:30, Tennessee lands another transfer football recruit. And this is a big one. Mainly talking about his size and stature. A big, beefy boy. Tennessee lands a 6'4", 320-pound defensive lineman from Kansas last night.
Yeah, another position to need. Heupel continues to work the portal and add to our try to bolster that defense up a little bit more, as we know that we're a little bit short on bodies, so getting anybody and everybody we can.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, man, really got to go hats off to Coach Heupel and the staff about what they've done since the spring game. This is the fifth notable immediately eligible transfer player that will be joining this team next season. And again, all of them a little bit unfortunate that none of them could get to go through any kind of practice in spring. But nonetheless, five talented, immediately eligible players next season. Not too bad. We'll give you a full recap on all the different transfer players that Tennessee has landed. And we'll tell you about DeJon Terry, the Kansas defensive lineman that Tennessee landed last night. The 320-pound, 6'4" defensive lineman. Beefy boy. Beefy boy.
Also got a little bit of news out of Louisville.
Okay. Oh. Whew. Look, I know there's a story that we're going to get to today. I thought that's where you might have been heading. We got to go south for that story. But what are you talking about out of Louisville?
South for what story?
Well, we got to go south because a former Tennessee player is heading a little bit south.
No, I was talking about the horses.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about that one first.
The horses.
Yeah. My guy, Bob Baffert.
Yeah, what happened there?
He didn't know about it.
Now, this is actually an interesting story.
He says he didn't know.
So it's not your typical, oh, by the way, go ahead and give what is the headline to this story?
Kentucky Derby winner Medina Spirit fails drug test, prompting trainer's suspension.
All right, so this is an interesting one, right? It's not your typical PED case. In fact, it's not even a banned substance. It's just that this, whatever it is, it cannot be in the horse's system 14 days before the race, and it certainly can't be on the test after the race. So they're going back to check it, but kind of a weird situation because it's not necessarily traditional, I guess, in the sense of just your average steroids, you know, build some muscle.
If it wasn't a performance enhancer, was the horse just getting high? I mean, was that it?
What is this? You know, I'm not an expert in horse drugs, so I'm not entirely sure what this one does. But, like, that's honestly kind of the thought that I had, right? If it's not a if it's not an illegal substance, if it's not a banned substance, then that's a really interesting rule to have it as your horse just cannot test positive for this 14 days before and then immediately after as well.
The horse just out here doing ketamine.
Let's see. I don't know what this one is. It says something about lidocaine?
Beta methasone. That's the substance, the steroid substance that Medina Spirit had tested positive for. If I throw betamethasone, what a word, into the old Google, says it can treat inflammatory and many other medical problems.
Hmm. I think it's a shame.
Oh, yeah? It's a shame that it says it's treated for eczema.
No, he just didn't want his horse
itchy. Got that eczema?
Horses don't have eczema.
What's that drop?
Well, not if they take beta-alamine or whatever it is. They don't.
Anyway, Baffert says that it was he said it was the biggest gut punch in racing for something I didn't do.
Oh.
He's banned. He's banned from the Kentucky Derby.
No, but what if it comes back and they do the retest and they're like, oh, it's like a false positive COVID test. They're like, oh, you're actually fine. Go ahead and go back out onto the field. You're good. What if it's like that? Can they unban?
I'm sure they can, but I don't know.
The Derby's been marred by controversy lately. Between this and the ruling to give Country House the victory a couple years back.
That was, 2-3 years ago? Yeah,
okay, I have a better definition for betamethasone, but it's very medical termed. It's not English. So I'm just going to leave it on the table Friday. It's basically what we said it was, right? It's a man-made steroid that resembles cortisol. Whatever. So that's the story about the Kentucky Derby. The story that we were referring to right before that is that Hank T finally found his destination. He's going to go don the red. They go crimson, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, red. So we'll tell you a little bit about that later coming up. Hey, it's going to be a big show today. Plenty of things to get into. First, last thing of the first segment right here. I cannot wait any longer. Can we do it right now? Can we please do it right now? I got it ready. I got it locked and loaded.
Go for it.
Here we go. All right, hold on. Now I got to.
I thought you had it locked and loaded.
It is locked and loaded.
Apparently
okay.
Not.
You ready for it? Here we go. We're opening. We're doing it right now. I love the music. We're opening the Top Shot pack, Brandon. This could be the one. This could be. It's only a $9 one.
We'll open it already.
Fine. God. Okay. Number one. Charlie, I'd like to sell this to you. How about a Bam Adebayo dunk?
You
interested?
I'll give you a
dollar. No, absolutely not. All right, number two. This could be it. Dang it. Who?
Who that is? Who is it?
Furkan Korkmaz?
Yeah, he's
who's
a three-point shooter. He played for the Kings. He can shoot the three ball.
Oh, man. All right, last one. This is going to stink if it's not. Dang it. Bryn Forbes, three-pointer.
I don't know who that is.
They're all just commons.
Plays for the Bucks.
We got to get out of the commons.
Bryn Forbes. Never heard of
him. B-R-Y-N.
Never heard of him.
The Bam one's okay.
Yeah.
I guess the Bam one's
I'll give you all the money in my wallet.
Well, what's in your wallet?
That's what you have to guess. It's a risk.
Capital One.
What? Oh.
Good one. That doesn't mean credit cards, too.
Yeah, I mean, is this just a trade straight up for your wallet?
No, just any cash that might or might not be in it.
Howie, no deal. No deal.
Would you like to see what you could have won?
I bet he has over $100.
Open the case.
Oh, God.
It's in my car, actually, but I can tell you that there is about $180 in there.
All right, let's go to the – I don't know about that. If he's going to go out to his car, I feel like something's going to get grabbed in the glove box. But
well, I mean, you already said no deal, so, like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but – you know, I don't want to regret this situation. I'm going to have major FOMO if this happens. So, anyways. All right, gentlemen. On the other side of the break, we will go ahead and get into the stories for the day. Remember, we got two big stories to lead you through today. Number one, we'll talk about Tennessee's sweep over Missouri on the baseball diamond. Tennessee's newest transfer defensive lineman, Dejon Terry, as this is a great get for Tennessee as their fifth fifth transfer portal guy of the offseason so far. So stay tuned. We got all that coming up and more. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Blitz, Fan Run Radio. Which one am I thinking of?
I don't know. You said this song breaks your heart. I was like, why?
I was thinking it was a different... You know, I'm not an expert, and not even ashamed about that, but I thought this was a different song. Father and Son. You know that one? I thought that's what it was. Anyways, what are you cracking up about?
Just the name Father and Son just sounds like that's got to be a weird song.
No, that's a heartbreaking song. Go and look that one up.
By Cat Stevens?
Yes, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. It's a tearjerker, though.
Yusuf.
Yes, that's it. That's the one I definitely know. So one's probably a cover, but...
Well, they're the same person.
Oh. Look, you learn something every day. I don't know this stuff. This is not my forte.
Yusuf / Cat Stevens.
Okay, so that's one you got to listen to. That'll tear you down this morning. That'll give you some emotional thoughts. You know what else gives you some emotional thoughts, Brandon?
What's that?
Tennessee baseball. Big, big, happy thoughts after the weekend, after Tennessee sweeps Missouri on the road, continues to be one of the best road teams in the nation. Moves the record up to 14-4 on the road. Add that into 23-7 at home. Tennessee is 37-11 overall as they take their three games.
Have we thought about this? Do we want to host a regional? Do we want to host a super regional?
I will say yes, because it's not one of those weird things where Tennessee's bad at home. You know, 23-7, still pretty darn good at home.
But better on the road.
I'm not afraid of the road. And that's a great place to be, considering all of your, Omaha games potentially are technically road games because they're not in Knoxville. So I'm okay with that for now, but, you know, man, Tennessee just can get work done on the road, and that's got to be one of the most indicative things of a prime-time, locked-and-loaded team for the postseason. Right? So often in any kind of sport, but especially in baseball, man, when you're going through these three-game series, when you're spending a lot of time on the road during a weekend, to really be able to lock down and to take three games, and Missouri was a bad team. Right, Missouri's not a great baseball team, and that's why that was important to do so as well. But we talked about this all throughout the week last week, talked about it with Logan on Friday. Getting a sweep here was the best possible thing you could do to set yourself up for the final two series. And I'm not just saying that it's in, hey, there's nothing better than a sweep.
Well,
but
I mean,
statistically, it mattered.
If you wanted to have any kind of realistic shot at winning the regular season conference title, or winning the East, if that's a goal, then you basically had to sweep Missouri, and that game on Friday was a bit of a scare, and I said it on Friday. I thought that was going to be Missouri's best chance to win, took a little late game
heroics
drama.
Drama, good word.
For Tennessee to pull that one out. But at the end of the day, a win's a win. And then you took care of business on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah. Two big wins on Saturday and Sunday, like you mentioned, after a little bit of a nail-biter on Friday. Tennessee wins 11-4 on Saturday, wins 10-2 on Sunday. And Vanderbilt did not play on Sunday, meaning... Your Tennessee Volunteers, led by Tony Vitello, are the SEC East leaders.
Are they
going to
make
right
that
now.
Game up?
It's a good question.
It said canceled instead of postponed, which is really weird, but I guess that means it's just canceled. I don't know how that's fair or why they would do that.
Yeah, I bet Vandy's pretty upset.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, absolutely.
I bet they're pretty okay with it. Jack Leader got scratched from a start, so I mean they were down to two other starters that weren't Jack Leader.
How important for Vanderbilt to win, you know, the SEC or to have a chance to win the SEC? Because again, you know, like Brandon said, I see what you're saying in the sense that, you know, kind of in a maybe more schematic, in a more game plan type of way. Yeah, that actually it might help things out. But in
they're a game short. They're a win behind Tennessee.
In a standings game wise, that's something that might not get made up that now Tennessee has a one game advantage on. So that's why I'm asking, you know, how important is it for Vanderbilt to win the conference or win the division? It's really interesting right now as the baseball season continues to unfold. But Tennessee should move up a little bit or at least stay the same.
They're number four.
Okay, there you go. I had not seen that yet today, so Tennessee moves to number four. But again, that sweep against Missouri, man, was big because it gives you a little bit of breathing room here in these two final series. Again, we know that Arkansas is directly on the menu coming up next this weekend, and it's going to be a tough series, man. I think that with the sweep, though, you allow yourself a little bit of room. Right, let's say hypothetically we pick up one game on the series, so you go 1-2. Still leaves you in a pretty good position to finish out the regular season against South Carolina on the road. And again, don't like it on the road, but maybe I do like it on the road a little bit, as Tennessee seems to really be able to know how to lock in and focus to a series. But I think that Tennessee sets themselves up really well to close things out, man, as the bats are alive in the late games of the series and the pitching does well. Just an all-around solid series. And again, you also get the big kind of late-game win feel, you know, Friday as well. So your team kind of gets to build up a late-game pressures-on-the-line moment.
Yeah, I mean, this we talked about the Tennessee-Vandy series is the biggest series since, I don't remember what year we chose. Was it like 93 or something like that?
Yeah, we went back to multiple different places, but it's been a long time.
I mean, this is a bigger series than that Vandy series. Yeah, it's not a rivalry, but just in terms of what it means, you're playing for a chance to, you know, be in first place in the SEC, go into the final weekend and control arguably your own destiny. I think we're going to have a packed stadium. As for the road record thing, too, we also have played a much easier road schedule because, you know, we've played Alabama, Georgia, and in Missouri on the road. Well, we've gotten teams like Vandy and Florida at home. But just, it was big to pick up those three games, too. I mean, just an exciting weekend.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. It was a good showing all around as Tennessee is able to continue to climb. And man, it's things you like to see right now. So baseball team is rolling again. Got a game versus Tennessee Tech tomorrow night in Knoxville.
Trying to get a little revenge.
Yeah, that's right. We did play.
Oh, wait, no. Sorry, that was Lipscomb that we lost to. My bad.
Yeah, you're right. Though. We did play them on April 20th, where Tennessee won 3-2, and that was the game after the Vanderbilt series.
Yes.
So that's interesting, right? You play the Golden Eagles right after you play the number two team at home, and then now you're playing them right before you play the number one team at home. But going back to Charlie's point right there. Brandon, what do you think? Do you think this is a bigger series in town than Vanderbilt? Because, again, you're talking about number two with a huge, famous in-state rivalry, or you're talking about number one, but with all the added-in storylines of Tony Vitello playing his old team, right, and them traveling here to play it and things like that. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer.
I mean, I think it's this weekend against Arkansas. You got the number one team in the country, like you said. Vitello coming over. That's where he came from. This is his previous job. I'm sure he knows that coaching staff and probably knows some of the players. But also, you've got a chance, like Charlie said, to take first place in the SEC with one series to go.
Yeah.
So,
I would even say you have a really good chance. I mean, you probably won't sweep them. If you were to take the series, move up to like number two, number three in the country.
Yeah, I mean, you're already number four, so I mean, why not?
Maybe even number one if you take out the number one team. I mean, if it's not any close games, if it's a sweep or anything like that, that shows you. I mean, you're solidified now that people know about Tennessee baseball, but I mean, if you're able to take out Arkansas, that's huge. I think that's it's a bigger series. Yeah, come to play, though.
Arkansas did look somewhat vulnerable over the weekend.
They did.
Did Vanderbilt play Bama?
They played Georgia.
That's right, Georgia.
Yeah, like Bama I said, they dropped one game against them.
Almost dropped the second.
I might have to choke. I have to use my powers this weekend.
I need you to use your powers this weekend. We can. I have a lot of ways to get you an Arkansas shirt, and I'm sure you already have one.
I do have one.
Okay, there you go.
All right, you gotta wear it.
We need to
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
We need to use the powers as Arkansas has won all 8 of its SEC series this season. I believe just like Tennessee has. Nope, that's
Tennessee's won 7.
We lost to Vanderbilt. So
yeah, and Tennessee, as good as they looked over the weekend too, with the sweep, they still struggled with runs in scoring position.
Very true.
On that Saturday, they left 27 on, and I know they left a bunch on yesterday too. Even though they were up,
27 men left on base.
Yeah, on Saturday.
That's a real number.
Yeah.
Good googly moogly.
That's how many they left on.
Oh my gosh.
I remember. I believe. I definitely know of one time. I'm thinking of two, where bases were loaded.
Yeah. And in yesterday's game.
Okay, so that might have been the other one that I was thinking.
Yeah, yesterday
I believe
they did it once,
but definitely yesterday.
They did it once in yesterday's game where they had bases loaded, and then the guys struck out two, and they flew out. And then they had another one where they scored one run, but then they left on the rest of the guys.
That's right. Lipsia struck out, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who had a good weekend, so I'm not pointing out to that. But, yeah, Chance, I the more that we've talked about that over the last couple weeks, the more very much keeping an eye out for it. And I'm sure that the audience
has as well.
That's their
biggest flaw. That's like they're really, you know, outside of, I guess, some struggles with pitching here and there. Like, that is their biggest flaw, is just leaving guys on and scoring. They get guys on.
Yeah.
The bats are there. They can't get them in, though.
It's one of the weirder stats that I've tried to wrap my head around, how Tennessee is so great at getting on base because of their plate discipline. They are top 5 in RBI, so they're still getting these runs batted in, but yet they're also a bottom 4-3 team in batting average. But then again, the SEC's got a decent average, so just weird stats all around. But nonetheless, a positive weekend for Tennessee. Get ready for the game tomorrow. Get ready for #1 Arkansas on Friday. And man, things are looking good. Things are looking good. All right, let's check over at the football field coming up next as we check in Tennessee's newest transfer lineman right after this. All right, here we go. Back here on the Blitz Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, 865-546-8200. That is your number. Let's call in and talk about us. Talk about a little Tennessee football, basketball, baseball on the show here with us today. But first, let's move over to the football field, gentlemen, as we got a new player to look at. Another player added to this roster from the transfer portal, as you can actually go and read about this right now on the FanRunRadio.com website. That is Dejon Terry. Again, a 6'4", 320-pound defensive lineman that is headed over to Tennessee after 2 spent years at Kansas. He's also the 5th player in total that Coach Heupel has landed from the transfer portal, since the spring game ended, since the orange and white game finished. You can go back and look at the 2 defensive players. How about Juwan Mitchell and Caleb Tremblay from USC? A linebacker and a defensive lineman. A linebacker in the middle of the field who has basically called himself the quarterback of the defense. That's a high IQ guy, a guy who led Texas in tackles, not too shabby. Then you got Caleb Tremblay, who is an experienced West Coast defensive lineman, a beefy boy. And then, as we added last night, again, was Dejon Terry. Now, Terry spent 2 years at Kansas, as I mentioned. In 2019, the former 3-star recruit only played in 2 games, and he recorded 2 tackles, so not too much work there. But in 2020, though, had a much more of a breakout season, accounting for 11 solo tackles, 3 assists for 14 in total, and also had 2 sacks on the year, which was noticed by the Kansas coaching staff and his Kansas teammates. Now, again, we don't really have too many stats and things to look at for Terry to kind of get him an idea about his game. We know what a defensive lineman's role is, and for especially a guy that big. But here are 2 quotes, and I think that this is fascinating, and I think this kind of gives you an idea about what he can bring to the table. First up is Marcus Harris. This was a defensive end for the Kansas Jayhawks last year, talking about Dejon Terry. He said this: "I feel like Dejon is one of the fastest learners on the team. He grasps all the information they throw at him. He applies that to the field. He makes it easier for me, taking on double teams and stuff like that. He makes it easier for the defensive ends. I feel like he's going to be something special." Then you move on a little bit, and you hear from DJ Elliott, who is the Kansas defensive coordinator, or who at least was last year, and he says this about Terry. Quote, "We've seen huge growth, and we think he's got a very bright future. I think his career here at Tennessee, is going to be very good. Obviously, not at Kansas anymore. He's improved tremendously from last year to this year. Every week he gets better. He's a guy that a 300 pounder that can move, and he's physical. I think you're going to see some great things from him, not only this year but in the future." So again, can't really talk too much about the different statistics and stuff he brings to the table because only one season to look at, but at least judging by what his former teammates are saying about him, what his former coaches are saying about him, this is a guy, I think, with really good upside, even if maybe still a little bit rough around the edges so far as he joins this Tennessee roster.
Well, I mean, it's an addition, and like we've said ad nauseum, this Tennessee defense just needs
bodies. Oh, my God. Needs keep bodies. Them coming. I love
just
it.
Just need bodies. Now, how good is this guy? I don't know. He's playing defense at Kansas. So, I mean, how good can he be?
I know we need
bodies, and we'll take anybody we can get.
Just because you're at Kansas doesn't mean you're not a good player. It just means that you don't have enough good teammates, hence leaving Kansas. And this isn't the first time that's happened. Kansas has had players that have transferred and then performed well other places and gotten drafted in recent history under Les Miles because he did do a good job bringing in a little talent, just still not enough.
Can we get defensive players from another conference besides the Big 12?
I'm really excited about this. I mean, outside of maybe Juwan Mitchell, this is probably the transfer that I'm most excited about. I really, really like Dejon Terry, just based on, you know, what Rick just read, what his coaches said about him, the growth that he made from year one to year two. But then also, you know, when I saw him in the transfer portal a couple weeks back, I went back and just watched Kansas football, which hurt.
Whoa.
Yeah. And watched
Big
him.
Big J, journalist.
And watched him. And for a guy that's 6'4", 340, he moves impressively well. And, I mean, statistically, not bad stats. And especially when you're a defensive, you know, that downline defensive tackle, you know, you're playing in between the three techniques on the line on Kansas because you're not getting help around you. And interior defensive line is one of those positions where you need the most help from your defense around you to be productive. I mean, you need other people to complete their responsibilities too. And I'm sure Juwan Mitchell is very, very excited about this addition.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's the kind of guy that now, I mean, you stick in front of him on the line, and he can hold his gap. He can, you know, eat up his blocker, eat up a double team potentially.
Yeah, and you hear about
and allow
Juwan
Mitchell
talking.
More space than to move. That's what you need. You need guys that can eat space and allow these linebackers freedom to go make plays.
Well, and eating space is something that he can definitely do and something that he will do on this Tennessee team as already standing at the weight that he's currently at, 320 pounds. This puts him at least according to the official UT roster right now, this puts him tied for the second biggest offensive or defensive lineman that we have. Who would you say is the biggest? Who would you think? Beefiest boy.
Simmons.
Yeah. Elijah Simmons weighing in at 330. But then you got Aubrey Solomon and now Dejon Terry standing there at 320. Couple of big guys in the defensive line. And like Charlie was saying, man, that's what you need. We just heard from that guy, Marcus, as he was saying that, look, for me as a defensive end, this guy only getting better and better is just making my job easier and easier. The way that they have to now approach him in the middle of the line allows less people when I'm trying to go around the outside. Right? If I cut back inside, now there's less guys to go up against because they need two guys to handle Dejon right there in the middle. So this could be a really interesting one. And like Charlie had alluded to, these pieces work together. Well, right? It's not just that you're adding talent in different positions, but you're adding talent that you know will be able to work in tandem to only kind of expedite that growth, hopefully.
Well, it's pretty interesting, too, that he only started playing football 3 years ago. He just picked up football as a senior in high school. That was his first time playing. That's why he didn't have a lot of offers from big schools. His only two Power 5 options were Colorado and Kansas because he didn't start playing football until his senior year of high school in 2018.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
What was he? Was he playing basketball? What was?
No, he just wasn't. I mean, I don't. Wow. It doesn't say anything about whether he's playing, but this is on Rocky Top Talk. But yeah, he started in playing football for the first time, senior of high school in 2018, and he was 6'4 and 370 when he arrived on campus at Kansas. So that's why he had to redshirt his first year.
Good Lord.
And he had to slim down.
Yeah.
And when he slimmed down, that's when they said he noticeably was quicker and more disruptive in the middle of the line.
So it's just taking this guy a little bit to get his feet under him. They've had to trim him down. They've had to kind of teach him the game.
Well, he's not even hit his potential when he said the guy just started playing football.
Ooh.
That's what I'm telling you, Brandon.
Ooh.
All right. You poo-pooed this.
Okay.
I am very excited.
He's coming around.
Okay. My interest is peaked.
I see.
He's gotten exponentially better every year.
You see this right here, Charlie? You see what this is?
It's
what is
a gear.
This? It's a gear.
And Brandon's grinding mine.
The gears in Brandon's head. They're doing this. You see it?
It's a
look
gear.
Here. Look here. What's this? What
I
is this?
I think it is.
What is this?
What's it called?
I think it's more of a washer.
It's turning.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Shut up. You guys don't know that. It's a gear, all right?
The washer is turning in Brandon's head. I can see
it's on the spin cycle.
All right, here we go. Back here on the Blitz 1049 as we're making our way into our final segment of the show today. And I just got one question for the table. Did the Chinese rocket ship ever hit Earth over the weekend?
Yes, it did.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. No one was injured.
Good.
Thankfully.
Now, I didn't hear any big news story about this, so I'm imagining that it didn't hit any kind of city like a freaking meteor or something.
No, it landed in the ocean.
Did it at least cause big waves?
I'm sure it caused massive waves.
Big
waves. Like, were people on the beach, you know, do they get...
I'm sure the boogie boarders were a little thrown off their game, or the skim boarders.
I thought it would be enough to maybe cause, like, a little baby tsunami. I mean, obviously it didn't, and I don't know why it would, because I'm not a scientist, but I don't know. I just imagine, like, big stuff hits ocean, maybe little mini tsunami, big wave.
I mean, it landed in the middle of the ocean.
It's not
probably
not close enough to
probably thousands of miles from any kind of land. It landed near the Maldives, right? Maldives, whatever it's called.
Maldives in the Indian Ocean.
Yeah, where's that at? Is that close to?
It's like south.
I'm not an ocean expert.
It is southeast of India.
Yeah, I found it here. Yeah, I mean it's pretty close to India, but it's fine. Nobody was hurt.
It's fine.
So it's really not that far away from China. Did it, you know, but it was it really a situation where it could have landed anywhere and it just kind of happened to still land relatively close to the launch point? Or was that just coincidence?
Yeah, I mean,
it could have landed anywhere.
Okay.
It was just orbiting so fast that we couldn't properly track it to know where it was going to land.
Gotcha. And it just kind of happened to, I mean, it's still in that same, you know, general vicinity of the globe.
I'm going
to
show you a map of where it could have landed.
Oh, the danger zone map.
All in the red is where it could have landed.
It's literally like if you're looking at, what's a country with a flag with the three vertical lines?
Russia.
There you go. So if you're looking at the Russian flag, you take the middle, mark it red, put that on on the earth, and that's your danger zone. It's pretty good. Wow. All right, so glad to hear that nobody got hurt.
We really dodged a big bullet, honestly, as a society. I mean, if that hit a major city, that would be catastrophic. It would, you know, first of all, probably injure a lot of people, if not kill them. It'd probably
it would kill them.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I'm trying to be positive on Monday morning.
I hear you.
Probably tear down some buildings pretty bad, and probably rupture the global economy. So,
you know what? I don't want to be optimistic right now. I want to talk about something that was ruptured, and I want to talk about dodging something, but kind of take a couple letters off. Brandon, what the hell happened with Dogecoin on Saturday night? I thought Elon, you kept telling me, just wait till Saturday.
You sound like the. You sound
just
like,
wait till Saturday.
You sound like.
What happened?
You sound like the dog.
I know. It's because you kind of sounded like a dog all week. Kind of, just wait till Saturday. Just wait till Saturday. Just wait.
Did you not see it last week? It was slowly. It was slowly climbing. It was like a 50 cents, and then it got up to 60, and then up to like 75 cents. And then I was like, okay, Saturday. Here we go. Here we go. We're getting ready for a dollar. And then
we should have known, though. That means the dip's going to come.
It hit 73 cents. I was pumped.
But why did it tank the second?
I don't know.
That Elon
I don't know why these things go up and down.
No, but that's what I'm fascinated in. Because the second that he took stage on Saturday Night Live, down.
I don't know.
And then it started going back up a little bit, but down.
But now's when you buy. Buy now, because it's going to go back up.
No, you can't ever make sense of any of this. None of this makes
so
any
weird.
Sense.
It's
if
go
you
back
can
up.
Make, if
it's
someone out there can make
like
sense
a week and
of
a
this,
half.
Then they would just be filthy rich, and then you know, be different.
It's going to go back up in a week and a half.
Man,
it's on this pattern. It goes up, and then it goes back down.
Okay,
about a week, week and a half, then it shoots back up. And see, this Saturday was when we started going down. Now we're going to be down for a little bit, and then we're going to shoot back up.
Buy the dips.
Yeah, buy the
Diamond Hands.
So speaking of, did you guys see Elon Musk on Saturday Night Live?
I did. Actually, I have a story for the second hour about Doge going to the moon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, tremendous. That's coming up in the second hour. That's going to be fun.
I watched one segment, and me and my brother both watched it after about 10 hours of drinking prior to that. So it was really confusing because it was just all the characters from the Mario world in a courtroom. And like also Pete Davidson was there and Wario was on trial and I was watching it on mute too, which made it even more confusing and it felt like a fever dream. And that's all I saw from Saturday Night Live.
That's a weird way to watch. And I guess you're going to get some weird situations coming out of that. I watched the monologue that Elon had. And I couldn't stop myself from thinking that this is just the weirdest guy on the earth, but I'm fascinated in him. He also came out and he said that he was the first Saturday Night Live host to have Asperger's, which I did not know that either going into it. So that was kind of fascinating, but the show itself was horribly unfunny. It was a Mother's Day skit, and it was just so bad.
Yeah, I saw the Wario thing, and then I saw his monologue. Yeah, strange guy.
Strange guy.
So you watched the Wario thing?
And his mom was weird as well.
Can you
No.
Don't even ask the question.
No, I can't explain.
Did you watch with volume?
Well, let's watch it during the break and let's see what we can make sense of it. But coming up here next in the second hour of the program today, obviously you got that story that Brandon just teased on the menu. We got a Dogecoin story. It's going to the moon. You're going to want to be tuned in for that. But otherwise, guys, let's just check back at the weekend. Here in the first hour, we talked a lot about the Tennessee baseball series against Missouri. We'll talk a little bit more about the baseball team and talk a little bit more about Tennessee's five total recruits as they add Dejon Terry to the team. But we'll also kind of expand things out. The NBA playoffs. Oh, it's coming down to the wire. I'll give you some stats and info about the teams who are trying desperately to escape the play-in competition. I know we got a couple teams on the borderline ourselves, so we'll get into that a little bit more and talk about some of the big NFL stories. And we got a ton coming up in hour number two. You're not going to want to miss a single second of it. So with that being said, don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. Hour number two of the Blitz is next.